That's why I sat here. I was like, I came in.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, Dewan, how are you?
Hey, Pastor, I'm pretty good. Anybody else on the phone?
Doing good?
Yes. I'm great. Keep
busy?
Yes, I am.
Let me sign in here. Give me 1 second, Dewan. I just want to see, make sure I know who's in the meeting room. All right, I am in the meeting room, and it's just us and Jesus. You and I.
Every time,
yes, sir.
Every time, Pastor. Yep.
How? Give me 1 second to watch, okay?
All right.
Thank you. Good evening, Sister Hawanda. God bless you.
Greetings, family. How are you? God bless.
Hawanda. Yes.
Hey, Brother Juan. How you guys doing?
We're blessed by the best.
Yes. Speak up, brother.
We're blessed by the best.
Yes.
That's not your favorite.
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
you might as well just go ahead and start preaching, brother.
We're best for the best. Yes, always the best of the best. We're money living. We're not lost and describe anything else.
Boy, that's good, Dewan. Thank you for joining. Who just joined us? Okay, let me call off names, and if I don't call off your name, please acknowledge yourself. I have Sister Hawanda, and I have Brother Dewan. There's a third person on the line. May I ask who that is?
My name is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
All right, how are you?
Good.
Oh, blessed. Wonderful. We were just discussing being blessed. It was awesome.
Yes,
Rachel, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself. I'm Pastor Monroe. Currently, we have on the line Brother Dewan Huber, and we also have Sister Hawanda Yarber. And other people will join over the next couple of minutes. But while we have a few minutes with you, can you share a little bit about yourself?
What is it? I gotta think. I'm sorry, guys. Right now, single mother of a 19-year-old. Work full time. Right now, just working on myself and finding some encouraging things for my life. So I got into one. So I joined the group. I appreciate her inviting me.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you for being here.
Amen.
Single mother of a 19-year-old. You're a 19-year-old male or female?
She's a male.
Okay. All right. Is he in school or is
he? Oh, at MACC.
Very good. So yes. Obviously, yes. Mom did her job, right?
Yes.
We have to do, but we're doing. He's doing good.
Hallelujah.
Good. We thank God for that. Everybody doesn't have that testimony, my sister. So we're glad that you do. God bless you. We just got joined by I believe, Janika Heron.
Yes, God bless you.
God bless you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, ma'am. We're glad to have you. Janika, tell us a little bit about you and where's your walk at right now in the Lord?
I am a strong believer of God. He's brought me through.
Mm, yes.
That should have blessed me. He continuously encourages me and gives me the strength daily to move forward on a path that's of His will. I wholeheartedly am graced by receiving His grace, which is sufficient for me. My walk is really strong with Him. Although I'm walking in flesh, He protects me spiritually and gives me that knowing how to help others along the way. So that's where I'm at, and I'm glad to be.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, glory to God. That's powerful, Jenica. So how long have you been a believer?
My whole life. I think there are times that I've strayed away from God, but He never strayed away from me. But I've always been protected by Him on every aspect throughout my entire life. I was a preacher's kid for a while and came in that way, seen a lot of ministry over my life.
Mm-hmm. And that's got to be very difficult. The PK, preacher's kid, that typically is very difficult. You grew up in. God bless you, Brother Arnold. Thank you for being here. And so, you know, you typically grow up in an environment where you're hearing the words, you're seeing the lifestyle, but at the same time, it's so completely different than what, you know, we're thrust into as young people, because everybody else is not necessarily in agreement with that. And it creates this whole conflict that takes place in the spirit, and you kind of go, okay, is this the right way, or is that the right way? Are we a little overboard, or are we not? So I applaud you, because being a preacher's kid has two great benefits. The first benefit is you get a chance to see the duality of kingdom life and earthly life, and you can actually see it. Most people can't. Most people are in the world and don't never see what the kingdom is until they come in. And it takes them a long time to adjust. Right?
Yes.
Woo. And that's why we always preach it's a process, because they're adjusting to something. But you being on that end, so two great, I think, benefits. One is that. The other is, just like in the Old Testament, typically once the child of a called person steps into the kingdom, they're typically coming in with a second level of anointing. You heard that, didn't you?
I've heard that in different wording, but I love the way you put that. I really do.
A second layer of anointing that flows, because it's a generational anointing. And it's meant to do great things, Janika. So we hope and pray that you are walking in that calling and that you understand that calling, because it's also very difficult, because God will challenge you, chastise you, and do a lot of other things, because you're not what you may not be doing what He's calling you to do, because you don't know that second level anointing is there, and you'll be functioning like a first level. Hallelujah. It's like you graduated and went to college. Everybody else graduated and went to high school, and you still think you're in high school. And so the Holy Ghost is trying to press and push to get the second level. Does that make any sense? I hope and pray you heard
really
it.
Does. Yeah. I promise you that makes so very much sense, more than I could say.
So you'll understand some of the turmoil around you. It's not coming from what you are doing. It's coming from what you probably haven't done yet. So pay attention to your calling and move in it and trust it, and don't wait on somebody to hand you some papers and say you have been ordained. So that second level anointing is an ordination automatically.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. So, Brother Evans, God bless you.
God bless you guys. I'm wonderful. I'm actually at this place right now, so I'm going to have you guys on mute, though, but I'm still here, though, with you all.
Okay, very good. Thank you for being here. It is just at 5:39. We're going to open up in prayer so that everybody knows we're going to be reading from the book of 2 Corinthians. We are in the second chapter. 2 Corinthians, second chapter. And we've been going through, New Covenant Church of Christ has been reading through, we read through the book of Acts, the book of Romans. We've gone through the first book of Corinthians. We're in the second book of Corinthians. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it that way because the Lord has laid it and pressed it upon our hearts to make sure his people have a word in them when the enemy comes. You're never going to defeat Satan with intellectuality. You could be as smart as a whip. I mean, you could have 18 doctorate degrees and a couple of PhDs and a JD if you want to. And we thank God that you may have it. But if you don't have a word in you, those degrees never teach you how to fight with Satan. They only teach you how to intellectualize mankind. And in the war that we're in and the war that is coming, and there is a war coming, it's already been here, but it's escalating through some of what's going on even in our federal government right now. It's escalating. If you're watching television, paying attention to Facebook, looking on YouTube, you will see the escalation taking place. And this is a war that cannot be won with guns and bullets. This is a war that's going to be won with prayer, fasting, and knowledge of a king who cannot be defeated. So you don't get slipped up, tripped up into the conflict of what the world is doing when he calls you to be in it, but not of it. So you have to rise above what you see. You have to rise above what they say. You have to discern what you're hearing. You're going to need to go into a revelational mode in your life. So in that revelation mode, when the devil makes a move, you see him before he even gets started.
Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that will prevent him from getting traction in your life. If you can catch the race before the race starts, you already know you won it because you have the finish line and it's just beginning. And that's the way you have to treat the devil, and that's the way you have to treat your enemy, because he's a real enemy. He's invisible, but he's very real, and he works through people, right? Just like God uses us to help, Satan uses us. He uses people to help him to do what he does. And more often than not, before we go too deep into the reading tonight, more often than not, he cannot use perfect strangers. He has to use people that are close to you. Because a perfect stranger can be ignored. A person that's far off can be not seen. But somebody that's sitting in your living room. Cannot be ignored, cannot be overlooked, cannot be miscalculated. It's there. But if you know how to walk in the spirit, you'll even overcome those things, and it'll be mind-boggling to folks that you don't react the way you used to react. That you don't say what you used to say. You know how to speak above it, beyond it, past it, and they'll see you prosper as they come against you, even in your own home. God is a good God. Amen. So we're going into the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to open up in prayer. We're in the second chapter. And I'm going to ask Sister Hawanda to be kind enough. Sister Angela, God bless you. Thank you for being here. And so we're going to have Sister Hawanda open us up in prayer. Sister Angela, you will probably be closing us out tonight. All right?
Okay. So, yeah, we say thank you. We just come to magnify you. We come to lift you up. We come to give you all the glory, honor, and praise that's due to your name. Hallelujah. We are grateful that we are on your plan and on your agenda on today, because mindful that somebody didn't wake up, and that we're not glorifying that somebody didn't woke up. We just want to be mindful that you allowed us to. So we just want to say thank you that you gave us the gift of one more time, that we can get it right, that we can be the difference, that we can change and allow you to come in and transform us any way that you see fit. So I thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you for everybody that's in the Bible study. I thank you for everybody that's
a way and haven't joined yet. And I thank you for those who have the mind and heart and want to but won't be able to. We lift them all up to you on one accord on today. We just want you to come in like a mighty rushing flood on today. We want you to wash us. And we want you to cleanse us all over again. We want you to renew our spirit all over again. Hallelujah. We just want to honor you on today. Hallelujah. Thank you for being everything that we need. Thank you for being King of Kings. Thank you for being the lily of the valley. Thank you for being bright and morning star. Hallelujah. We just want to honor you and let you know that we are nothing without you. Hallelujah. And thank you that we are everything with you, and there's no failure in you. So we seek to be more like you on today. You said if we seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and all of your righteousness, that everything else will be added unto us. So help us to forget about our own old selfish plans and ambitions and goals and plans, and allow our life to line up with your will for our life so we can fulfill our purpose on today. We want to be purpose driven, hallelujah, so that our life can be meaningful, so that we can be the servants that you called us to be. So we just say thank you for what's about to take place. I thank you for the seed that out to be planted on today, and I thank you that you will be the one to water the seed. So I pray right now that you anoint the word, hallelujah, that yokes be destroyed on today, that as we leave out of this Bible study, this life study, that we will never be the same. And I decree and declare it, from the head of the Bible study down to the tail of it, and in the middle of it as well, because we know that there is nothing wasted in your hand, that you can use all of our life, every situation and circumstance that we've been through, hallelujah, that there is nothing wasted. And I thank you that you are going to trust us in the midst of this Bible study, that we will be able to examine ourselves, hallelujah, and be grateful from where you brought us from, hallelujah, that we will no longer complain, hallelujah, but that we will give you glory, honor, and praise, because we know that what's to come is better than what's been, that our latter is greater than our former, and we will thank you because victory already belongs to us, because you have already given the ultimate sacrifice, hallelujah, and I thank you, hallelujah, that it wasn't in vain, hallelujah, and our lives will show that it wasn't in vain. So help us to line up according to your will, to your word, hallelujah, for your glory. So I thank you again, once again, for what you are about to do and what's about to take place in this Bible study. So we just say thank you all together, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. These things we ask in your son, Yahshua's mighty name.
Amen. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. For those who don't know, I probably should explain something. And that is that when Sister Hawanda opened up, she opened up speaking on the holiest of the holy names of God, which is Yahweh, and the holiest of holy names of Jesus, which is Yahshua. If you study any of the Greek or the Hebrew, you would know that Jesus is a transliteration that took place when they developed the King James Version of the Bible, which was written in the year 1611. But before the King James Bible existed, before the John Wycliffe Bible existed, which was the 1500s, before any other Bible was created, there was another Bible called the Ethiopian Bible. And in the Ethiopian Bible, they used his most holy name. If you go back and you study the Hebrew text or the what's called the Talmud or the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, which the Jewish people call their Torah, you'll note that in their book, they call God by his real name. And they reverence that name so much that they even omit letters so that they don't invoke that name and bring something on themselves that they don't want, because they reverence the name of God that much. And so Sister Hawanda was speaking at the holy names of our God, and I love that, because
so for what bless the region for the I'm sorry go ahead
Arthur. I'm glad no so no so, I was, go ahead Arthur.
I was just gonna say because I did notice that I was just gonna ask her one of the times that I seen her, you know what I mean, and ask her why she don't say it, you know, but is it like she feel like it's a disrespect? Awanda, you feel like it's a disrespect when you say it, or like,
it's just for me, so it may suit I'm just speaking from me, the reason I reverence those names. I feel like once you know better, you do better, and I kind of and to not go backwards. Once I come to the truth, that's where I want to continue to grow from, the truth, you know, not with change. However, I don't discredit what, you know, saying the name Jesus. It's just I just don't use those references anymore, and I don't discredit because that's only my conviction, you know. So it'll grow to each one of us as Holy Spirit, you know.
My other Bible. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So it's interesting. She said, "Once you know better, you do better." And I'm going to know my other Bible, hon, the one without the cover that I use 100,000 times till I read the cover off of it. Praise the Lord. So I want to go to that. Let's go to the Book of Proverbs before we begin to read 2 Corinthians.
Yes, sir.
I think it's going to be, 23 mm-hmm. and I want people to see this because.
23, 12, 16, 17, 9, 10.
Okay. Amen. Yeah, this is mind-boggling when you read this. I'll find it for you in just a second. I know it's Proverbs, I think it's the 23rd verse, but...
What chapter, Apostle?
Yeah, I was just...
What chapter?
Give me one second.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 23, verse 23. Okay. 23, 23. And if you have your Bible, please look at it.
Amen.
Amen.
I love this.
Amen. I got a couple of amens.
Yes, sir.
If you need me to wait on you, please say, just wait on me. We all right. Everybody have it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I want you to catch what Solomon was trying to teach. 23:23, right? And listen to what this says. Buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen.
Also buy wisdom and instruction and understanding. And so when Hawanda said, once you know better, you do better. And that's important because as believers, we are to be truth seekers, not emotional stimulation needers. Truth seeking is more important than anything, and it's correlated and collaborated in 2 Timothy, where we hear, study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, that needeth not be ashamed. And so a lot of times as believers, we have been born into a society of believers who have been born from a society of believers who were born from a society of believers who were born from a society, born from a society. And it goes back and back and back and back and back historically. But sometimes when you get to a place where things are okay, you don't search for it being better, right? So you can be raised up in a society of church teaching, and it's working. I'm better. I feel better. I'm born again. I know that. But do I have to have any more? And so it is imperative as a believer that we don't just read scripture, but that we study history.
Yes.
Because with history, I began to understand how much of the Bible is being misinterpreted.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's not being taught, but is it taught right?
Exactly.
Am I getting it right? Is it changing the environment? Is it growing the seeds that I'm constantly trying to plant? Because all of us have family members that we're planting in. Amen. All of us have friends that we try to impart to, and we don't see the plant grow. Mm-hmm. We got to go, well, what's wrong here? Maybe they're not called. Maybe God didn't want them in the kingdom. But I got a Savior that said, I would that all might be saved.
Yes.
So that is a statement saying, I want everybody to get it. Period.
Okay.
And a lot of times they're not getting it because they're hearing it in the fashion that it's been presented someplace that they also got hurt in.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, you just bring about, you open a wound. If you know truth, though, you'll know how to distribute truth, even if you never use the word. Because the word was meant, when it was written, it was not written for supernatural purposes. It was supernaturally written for natural purposes. I want to say that again. It was not written for supernatural. I'm not supposed to read the Bible and then turn around and wave my hand and then all of a sudden plants start showing up in my yard because I got supernatural power. It was written because I already had supernatural power and Satan has stolen it. And now I need to know how to go and find the truth and sell it back not. When I get it, I don't go backwards with it. I go forward with it. And I keep marching toward the mark of the high prize of the calling in Christ Jesus. It is my purpose. It is my reason for life. It is the reason that God separated me in the womb to be saved. Because I don't know if a lot of people see that. You are a unique, beautifully, wonderfully constructed machine that God is trying to and wants to use at all times. But if I just see myself as being saved, I don't see myself as being part of salvation. I hope I said that right. If I just see my salvation, I don't see myself as being a part of other people's salvation, so I don't plant properly.
Come on, help us.
I don't water right.
Apostle.
Because I just think it's really a... Yes, sir.
I understand what you're saying, but only some people, you can't make people get it, though.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I hear what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense, but some people won't get it. And what are you supposed to do for that shit?
Yeah, let me give you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, please hear what I'm getting ready to say. It'll blow your mind. You're supposed to add the word yet to your statement. That's how you get it. Some people don't get it yet.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're not going to get it 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 30. Doesn't mean when you're on your deathbed, the person that you thought was the worst person on the world won't be the one sitting there praying for you to bring you back.
Come on.
Yet is how you deal with this. This is not about who gets it. This is about you've got the truth, and so you're supposed to distribute it. Let God do what God does. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I know I got to have at least a couple of witnesses that can attest to that. You were trying, trying, talking to people. You sat back and shared the gospel. You sat back and said, shared love with them. You shared wisdom with them. You shared all those things. They rejected every bit of it. And then 5 years later, they came back and said, man, you were right.
So they don't get it yet. Now.
Because when we have the mindset that they don't get it, then we are in a bad place overall. Because when you think a person doesn't get it, you stop planting.
Ooh, come on.
Now, I've made the decision on who can be saved.
Right.
Instead of leaving that to God. Does that make sense? Am I making sense to anybody? Praise the Lord. So let's get back to 2 Corinthians.
Go ahead. Hey, man. No, I'm going to be fine.
All right, well, let's move on to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen. Everybody there? So I don't know about you, but I'm fired up about the word of God. I'm fired up about it because I can tell you my oldest brother is a staunch. Let me reframe what I just said so Satan can't use it. Was a staunch, diehard atheist.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest brother, he went to law school. He was in the military. He had high rank in the military. He just knows he's a communist by desire, because he believes communism is the right form of governing and the right thing for people, because communism is about the working class of people, and the working class deserve everything. There's those greedy capitalists, well, they all deserve, they don't deserve what they got. And so he's that person. So what he didn't know was that he was already a Christian, just with the wrong God. Listen to me good. Right? So when I got saved, and I really began to allow the conversion to take place. And the conversion, even though it's a spiritual thing, it's a salvation thing, but more than anything, it's a humility thing. And it becomes a humility that allows you to become a servant to all men and never subservient to any man ever again. Let me try that one again, because I don't know if everybody gets that. When you got called, you were called to be a servant to all men and subservient to nobody. You know less than the president of the United States, and you know more than the janitor at the building you work at.
Oh, no, help us. Help us.
And so when you get into the humility part, things begin to happen. Mm-hmm. So let me share with you what happens now. And so now that same older brother who was the intellectual, who was the communist, who was the atheist, who was all that, is now calling whenever somebody needs prayer.
Yes, hallelujah.
And I got saved in 1997, and it took 15 years to get him to this point. But what would happen if I gave up on his soul?
Ooh,
glory to God. What would happen if Jesus gave up on me? What would happen? Who do we become when we start looking at people and see people instead of souls? God called you to see souls, not people. That's your child, but that's also a soul. That's your husband, but that's also a soul. That's your wife, but your wife is also a soul. And if all you see is your wife, you'll treat her any kind of way. If you see a soul, you recognize, if I don't do this right, I'm going to have to answer for this. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be talking to God. He's going to ask, why didn't you get used the way you were supposed to get used? Anybody get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get exactly what you said.
You're bigger. Praise the Lord. You are big
exactly
sister. Never praise the Lord. I heard your voice. Glory to God.
Praise God. Thank you. Glory to God. I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. I had you on my thoughts today, and I was getting ready to ask my wife, okay, how do we get, where's Sister Deborah? What's going on? Praise the Lord.
Yeah, she knows, too, because I talked to her, and I told her that I'm at a rehab center here in some prairie. I fell and fractured my back. I went from Mary to hospital, left Mary to hospital, and I ended up out here in some prairie at a rehab facility. But I thought I wasn't going to be here, but for 10 days, I've been here 30 days, and I'm so sick of it. But God is good, and I'm going home tomorrow, and I'm so excited.
Hallelujah.
That's how good my God is. Yes, ma'am.
He loves us. So we're in 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Sister Deborah. What an awesome testimony. We're in 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. And we're going to read something, I think, that's going to need some explanation to it. Because if you look at it on the surface, everybody with me? If you read this on the surface, it's going to appear to be fairly boring. But when you find out what's happening in it, you're going to go, oh, right? Because the Word of God is the practical application for our lives. Mm-hmm. Everything that's taking place in this book is taking place in somebody's life right now.
Right. Yes. What chapter?
Second chapter, 2 Corinthians. Okay. All right, I'm going to ask for a reader. Who wants to be that reading person? I think that's Sister Angela. You good with that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I got to get, right. Hold on. I got to pull my stuff up. You said 2 Corinthians.
Yep, 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians.
Second
mm-hmm. Hold on. Let me get
anybody
it.
Anybody ever been in a church? Yep, you got it. Let me ask a question before we start reading. Anybody ever been in an argument with somebody in the church?
No.
Anybody ever had an indifference with somebody in the church? I don't mean like a blow, but I don't mean like a knockdown worldly where we didn't have the box and all that stuff. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about a difference of opinion. They accosted you because the way you worshiped wasn't right. You had your hand too high when you were praising the Lord, or you praised them too loud, or I was over here peaceful. You sat in my chair. And so anybody ever had?
Yeah,
come on, somebody.
Sat in my chair.
Yeah, you sit in my chair. That's my chair. I come here every week and I sit in that chair. Now here you are. Can you move? Right? Because there are little skirmishes inside of the body of Christ. And believe it or not, what we're reading is a skirmish. And I want you to catch it. I want you to look at it from that perspective. Go ahead.
So today I guess you can probably call this a little make me feel some type of way. I seen a pastor and his wife on vacation, and she had a swimming suit, and her tie ties was hanging out, and he had no shirt on. And I was like, when people go to on vacation and stuff, be private with it, because that's what a vacation is about. Your church doesn't want to see you without a shirt on and doesn't want to see your wife's tatas hanging out.
Amen. Yes.
I'm going to say amen to that one, too. Right? You have to be careful. So here we go. Sister Angela, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church
the
of God
chapter.
In Corinth. Wait a minute,
Corinthians?
I am chapter one.
Second, I'm second Corinthians.
Second Corinthians, chapter one.
Chapter two.
Okay, hold on.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I made up in my mind that I would not make another pitiful, no. So I made up in my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you. For if I grieve you, who is left to make me glad but you whom I have grieved? I wrote as I did so that when I come, I would not be distressed by those who should have made me rejoice. I had confidence.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have confidence in all of you that you would all share my joy. For I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you. To some extent, not to put it too severely, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Mm-hmm. Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Oh, I like that. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. Who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God.
Amen. Somebody tell me what they got out of that. What do you think he's talking about? What could he be talking about? What is happening here?
Bringing that word.
Bringing
the word of God to people. Some people aren't going to accept it. Some people are. And we're not supposed to be peddling the word of God for profit. I like that part. In Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere.
You see why I said it ain't working yet? Because when you teach, and when you share with people out of love, not out of judgment, because there's a lot of people who unskillfully handle the word of God. And when you unskillfully handle it, you become judge, jury, and executioner. Mm-hmm. You become the spiritual police department. And everything is about Jesus said this, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the real responsibility of a believer is, one, I need to work out my own salvation. Two, I need to understand that everybody that I'm dealing with is just simply a soul like I was. And three, every soul deserves some grace. And if I approach things from that perspective, they stop agitating me and I stop aggravating them. The word of God is to be handled skillfully. So that when a person hears what you say, they actually have to entertain what was said. And the minute that they entertain it, the minute that you can get a person to think on the word of God, you have made them meditate on the word, which is what he tells us to do. And it plants itself into their hearts. And then God sends somebody else along to water that seed. And somebody else comes along and plants on top of the first planting. And the next thing you know, that person is going, maybe I really should give God a chance. But let's go back to the point of what he's dealing with, right? So can anybody see how this sounds like an argument?
Yes.
Or is it just me?
No, it sounds like an argument.
He's writing to the Church of Corinthians. This is his second letter. This is a letter, not a book. This is his second letter to them. And if it's my second letter, then that means I probably didn't accomplish something with the first letter.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
He wants to get through their thick head. Yes.
I got to get it through your thick head. Amen, Sister Angela. So let's go look back at what I think Paul is dealing with. Go to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 1st verse. Go to 1 Corinthians real quick, and then we'll come back.
1 Corinthians what?
The 5th chapter.
5th chapter?
Verse what?
Let's go to the first one. And let's see what it's talking about. Remember, this is the first letter.
You want me to read this?
No, I'm going to read this one, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Here we go. Watch what he says. He's saying in his letter, hey, brothers and sisters, it was reported commonly that there's some fornication going on among you. But it's not just fornication. But it's such a fornication that not even a Gentile would do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even named amongst the Gentiles. And then he goes on and says, and here's the issue. You got one that should have his father's wife in your congregation. Amen. And you're dealing with it wrongly. Watch what he say, verse 2, because you're all puffed up. You should be mourning that this is happening, that he that did such a deed might be taken away from amongst you. Oh, for verily, as absent in the body, and though I'm present in the spirit, I've already judged this thing, as though I was there, concerning him that has done such a deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the next time y'all get together, right? You see it?
Yes.
Next time you gather together and my spirit with the power, if you don't have the strength to tell them to stop, you better connect into me and utilize my strength, but you better tell them to stop. Look what he says. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, you need to deliver such a one unto Satan.
Yes, yes.
For the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might end up being saved. Remember, I said we're dealing with souls, not people.
Right.
If you look at people's actions, and I say this, and I say it based on experience, because there was a time I just saw people's actions. Well, he acts like this, so don't be around that. So forth and so on. When I start understanding that's a soul that I'm dealing with, and perhaps I'm equipped more than I know to deal with the issue at hand, and so I need to now go search out knowledge, search out truth. Here's the truth. What saved me? Oh, wait a minute. Let me try that again. What brought me into salvation? What brought me into the church? What changed my heart and my mind? We know it's Jesus. I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about the motivation that moved me. Because there's never going to be an action based on the way the human mind is developed, the wisdom of God. There's never going to be an action that any human being will ever take that's not motivated by a feeling that they have.
Yes.
Let me try this again.
Amen.
There cannot be an action that the body takes without something motivating the action. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
That's why the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Because what you're feeling is actually sending a signal to your mind and your brain. What you speak, you begin to act out. That's why the Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Because a lot of times you're writing a check, you ain't going to never cash. And God is saying, no, learn how to stop that. Because what you're speaking and the way you're behaving is making you write checks in your own life that you don't even want to cash. Anyway, let's get back to two. Everybody receive that? You get it?
I receive.
So he's talking to, this group. And I believe this is the second letter he's writing to say, okay, you addressed it. And now it's coming back at me because now you're angry because that person didn't respond well. You told him to get out. He came back talking because the first part of what you were doing, you were celebrating it. Then you had to turn around and you had to excommunicate it. Now you look like you're double-minded, right? Paul is trying to talk to these folks and tell them some stuff. That's why I said, have you ever had some stuff in church? Because we all do. People just don't act the way you expect them to act. But Paul is letting us know, and I hope and pray you receive this and the Spirit is given. Paul is letting us know, this is what church is. I know some folks that expect perfection when they come through the door. This is what church is.
Ain't no perfect.
Glory to God. Anybody get that?
I got that.
And when we receive and understand that this is how the church is formed, this is it's going to have some back and forth. It's going to have some disagreement. It's going to have some disillusionment. It's going to have some folk that don't agree with you and they read the same scripture you did. And you can talk to them and they go, no, that ain't what that means. Praise the Lord. And you sitting there going, I don't know what's wrong with these people.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's going to have that. But what Paul is trying to, I think the reason that the Holy Ghost had Paul to write these letters and then document them and keep them was so that we would know that church is always going to be that way, unless it's a deeply seated religion where everybody has been taught to shut up, don't you speak a word, women shouldn't talk in the church, the only people that get to say anything is the apostle, the pastor, the deacon, the person on the door, and you come in and you just go into hush mode.
Yeah.
Now we just go into listening mode. But if you're in a church where the Son of God has set it free, you're going to find out people have opinions, they have thoughts, they have feelings.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to be right opinions, right thoughts, or right feelings, but they have them. Yeah. And so if I look at it from the perspective of I'm dealing with a soul rather than I'm dealing with a perfect Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there you go.
There'll be a whole lot less church hurt. Let me try it again.
Yeah. Amen.
There'd be a whole... Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to just agree with you and what I've been hearing over this this chapter. I love, because I love the way everybody's presenting their interpretations of it. I love how Paul in this letter, it started off with the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord telling them that I've already judged it on a spiritual level. Because we are flesh and spirit, we're going to judge it on a carnal level. We're going to judge the next person's action if they're not good enough. But God has already made a judgment. It's not up for us.
Come on now.
So when it got to 2 Corinthians, the second letter, and he's talking about forgiveness for the offender, I love how he said to love your neighbor, pretty much love them as you love yourself. You know what I'm saying? You don't to give them a judgment on their fleshly things. You don't say whether or not they are saved or understanding it, because I am the great. I am the most high. I love that. And I love it. This was a commandment when he said in 8, I urge you. That was to let you know. I'm telling you right now, without a shadow of a doubt, reaffirm your love for him, regardless of what your flesh is telling you. And this just was powerful. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Sister Janika. That was powerful in itself. Because now when you read the same scripture, you're going to see it differently, believe it or not. You're going to see that even though Paul was saying, look, this is wrong, this is how you deal with it, and that this is important. Every one of us are going to encounter wrong in church.
Yes.
Just like you encountered it in life. The difference between the body of Christ and the world is not the wrong. It's how you dealt with it.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Amen. That is so true.
It's how I deal with it. Do I still recognize it's a soul? And I can tell you, I'm so really blessed at New Covenant Church of Christ because they get it. The majority of the folks at New Covenant Church of Christ, they can overlook your madness so fast, you'll be sitting there going, They'll be over there praying for you while you think they ought to be trying to pray on you. You're over there trying to figure out how to help you when you're trying to figure out why they haven't rejected you.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for prayer.
Because the foundation of, and I bring this up because with what's coming at us, and then I'm going to talk about this because we got some time. I'm going to shoot over to Revelation, the sixth chapter, so we can get what's coming, so we understand it, so we see it. But with what's coming, if you deal with people's actions, you'll get caught up by it. This is why Paul says, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage over you. Listen good. You can't afford to let Satan be the ruler in your circumstance.
Amen.
He is coming, but it is incumbent on the believer not just to know our God. That is our primary function. But it becomes incumbent, it becomes the responsibility of the believer to actually also know the way of my enemy. Somebody heard that. Praise the Lord. It don't make sense for me to go, okay, I'm going to war. There's a whole tribe of people over there getting ready to go to war with them, and I ain't spied out none of the territory. I don't know what kind of weaponry they're using. I don't know if they got bazookas or bubble gum. I don't know if they got 1,000 men or a million men. I'm just going to go to war. Let me take my 25 people and go over here and just do what I got to do and turn over there and get whipped up real bad. And then come back if you get to come back, because you never valued the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And you never evaluated the enemy. Am I teaching something that everybody can get that's making some sense? Because often than not, going back to 2 Timothy, study to show yourself approved. He didn't just say study God. He said study, study. In other words, I need to know how Satan behaves. Because if I know how he's behaving in my child, I'll see him before my child gets messed up. I'll catch this. If I understand how he behaves, I can see a change take place in my wife, and I know the enemy is on the move already. And so when he starts going on the move, I start going on the counter move. Why? Because I ain't going to let you have that kind of victory in my family. I ain't going for it. Because I've been paying attention to you. I can tell when a person comes in and their lip is all snarled up, they got a problem. I ain't going to sit back and ask him what's wrong. I'm going to sit back and say, what is Satan doing now? I don't want to sit back and discuss the problem. I want to sit back and come up with a victorious concept over that problem.
Yeah, that's what we need right there.
Satan should get an advantage. Mm-hmm. And what is Paul saying? Don't let him do that. Pay attention to your enemy. If I could teach anything tonight that you can take home with you today, is you have to watch how the devil moves.
Amen. Yes, we do.
If you're standing on the corner and you wait until the truck hits you, that ain't good. But if you know you're on the corner and you know cars come up and down, you watch.
Mm-hmm.
What direction? How far away is that car? How far away is that item? Do I have the time to make it from this side to that side without either one of them catching up with me? And I'm telling you today, you're going to need to pay attention to Satan so he can't catch up with you. Don't let him catch up with you. You own the street. You know the trucks and the cars are coming. It's time to pay attention and pay attention to what the car and the truck is doing so you know how to move freely in God. Yes, he's got you protected, but he ain't going to protect us from our own ignorance. Let me try that again.
He did not do that.
He decided not to,
Even though he has before. Ooh, I know I've been ignorant before.
Okay.
Anybody listening? Is this making sense? So let's go through it. So now we know he's discoursing.
Dad, I didn't hear what you said because there's too many people. There's too many people talking in the background. I didn't hear what you said.
Are they not talking? They're praising God. That's different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can't hear.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Can you hear me now?
What did you say now? Yeah, I can hear you now, but what did you say before?
I'm saying it makes no sense for you to know you're going to go across the street and not pay attention to the vehicles that are coming up and down the street. You don't wait till Satan gets there to deal with them. You start dealing with them the minute you realize I'm already on the street. See, when you, mm-hmm. Did we not walk up something called Straight Street in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And you're
Amen.
Already on the street. And so it becomes important. It is the responsibility of the believer not to sit back and have to get to a place where I'm standing in my living room going, I rebuke Satan in you in the name of Jesus. See, you ain't talking about that kind of stuff. You waited too long.
Come on.
Wow.
Because the minute you saw the behavioral change, you were supposed to catch it. Satan did something. The minute you saw the shift in the spirit around you, Satan was doing something. The minute you saw the bill get bigger than the income, you should have started.
Yeah.
Am I talking to anybody?
Yes, you are. The minute
that you put yourself in the position where he had you talking about the people that you work for like a dog, you should have saw him coming. Because what he's trying to do while you sitting there talking about the people, you think you're talking to your coworker and talking about how bad management is, you really talking to Satan because he's going to use the coworker to go back to the boss and tell him how crazy you are. And ultimately, the truck comes.
Come on.
This is why your Bible says, serve every man as unto the Lord. Why? He says, don't even go to work and give your boss eye service. Don't let your lip all get all snarled up because you don't have to say anything to communicate a negative message.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Right. Amen.
Your body language talks. Language is very important, and language creates actions.
Yes. And
praise God. And so Paul is saying, as a believer, do not, verse 11, don't let Satan get the advantage. So we now get a different perspective on the letter. Let me read it from beginning all the way through. And I want you to listen. I want to hear your perspective. Here's what Paul is saying. Think about the man he just tossed out and said, get him up out of here. But I determined that this with myself, verse 1, I would not even come back over there. I didn't want to come there with heaviness on me. Because I'm hurt, I'm angry, I'm feeling a certain way here. I know this is going on. I'm dealing with certain circumstances with your group, and I got this heaviness on me. Because I know I'm wise enough now to know if I make you sorrowful, how are you going to bring me joy?
Come on.
You gotta hear it because. I'm hoping that you hear it because this is what he's, you got to outwit Satan because anytime you go in your house, you know how the Bible says when it comes down to a husband and wife, it says the two become one flesh. Everybody mm-hmm. know this scripture, right? Mm-hmm. The two become one flesh. The worst thing that I could ever do as a husband is walk into my house, look at my wife and tell her, man, I'm so sick of these people on this job. They're getting on my nerves. The man came down and said this to me and said that to me. What did I just do? I just shared with my other part of my flesh. I just shared I'm concerned about having a job. I know what I said, but I don't know what she heard. And now she's over in anxiety because she's sitting here wondering, oh, is he going to get fired? Is he getting ready to leave his job? How are we going to pay the bills? So forth and so on. Be careful what you share.
Come on.
Let me go backwards. Let me take you to some better evidence. Look at Joseph when he started telling his brothers about his dream. And his brothers hear the dream, and they turn around and turn on him, try to kill him, and they couldn't kill him because they didn't want to carry that guilt, so they threw him in a ditch and sold him to some Egyptian
It was
slavers.
All of God's plan from the beginning to the end.
From the beginning. So Joseph finally grows into a man of God and realizes, oh, what you meant for my harm. God meant it for my good. He grows to a certain place. And so you have to be careful, even what you share. Even if you're sharing it with somebody that is of the faith, that you trust, that you love, and you even know deep down in your heart they love you. But let me tell you why you have to be careful, because even if that person ain't listening, Satan is.
Yes. Amen.
Help her.
Amen.
How do I know that? Because my Bible says he is the prince of the air. That means everything that connects with air, he has some engagement into it. I can sit back and tell. Y'all listening to this? Praise the Lord. I hope you hear this. That means I can have a vision for a business. Many people's businesses never manifested because they put it in the air too much. And too many people were listening and they saying it. Too many people were telling you the obstacles. Too many people spoke against it. But you kept thinking, if I could just garner some support, if I could get somebody to see my vision, if I could get somebody that cared about me, if I could get somebody, and you never realized all you were doing was giving Satan an advantage.
Wow.
It is better. Imagine you, okay, everybody, I want you to just use your imagination. You own or you are the king of a small community. You have an army. Your army is there to protect that community. You're a good king. You're a loving king. You take care of the people and so forth and so on. You all have built resources in your community. And then there's another group of people down the road who want what you got. And they say they may be 5 miles away. And they say, we're getting ready to go attack those people and take everything they got. And so they get together, they gather together, they get their army together, they get their weaponry together, and then they start beating the drums because they're ready to come. Are you not going to hear the drum?
Come on.
Come on. Anybody get that?
Yep, you're going to hear the drum.
Did they not announce they were coming?
Yep, right? You know that.
Did they not give you the time to prepare to thwart their... Every time you speak something, your enemy is trying to figure out how to thwart it.
Okay.
That's his job. Why would you expect anything else? I'm expect the enemy to stop.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All the time.
It's better to go to the war, win the war, then when you come out of the war after the victory, go beat your drum.
There you go.
Come on.
I'm gonna beat on the drum because this is over. It's done. And so for all of us, your vision. Whatever God has given you, and I know some folks on here with vision, whatever God has given you, you have to be very selective who you tell, how much you tell, and whether you speak it at all.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Because you don't want to do verse 11. Don't give Satan the advantage.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody get it? So let me keep reading. Are there any questions so far before I go on? Any questions?
No.
None? Praise the Lord. Here we go.
The devil lets you know he's lurking everywhere. And he just wants to make sure he can get you. And you have to let him know, no devil, not me.
Yes, ma'am.
I do not.
Yes, ma'am.
Be bothered with none of this. So we're not doing this today.
We're not doing this today.
We're not doing this today. I'm letting you know. Go ahead.
I love it.
We're not doing this today. Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Here we go. Yeah, and in fact you can do what you can remember the Job example.
Yes.
Lord, be a fence around me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, be a fence around me.
Right?
And even before you speak, you pray and you ask. Father, protect what I'm teaching. Protect what I'm speaking. Protect the vision. Right? Because if it's from you, it ain't no demon that can stop it. It ain't no Amen. Devil that can corrupt it.
Come on.
But there are a bunch of demons that will interrupt it. You know, thank you, I said.
Yes, sir.
So we end up in a case of delayed, as my wife would say, but not denied. And it's going to come. But it took 15 years to have a baby. This should have only took 9 months.
Amen.
Mm. Mm. Come on.
Devil trying to attack it.
Mm-hmm. Because he knows who you are. Even if you don't accept who you are, he knows who you are.
Well,
he knows what that blood is doing inside of you. He Ooh, knows yeah. who you are. He knows you're a peculiar person. You're a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
You're a holy nation. He knows
Ooh,
that.
Glory. Thank you.
And so his objective is to delay what God promised.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's people saved in the family, whether and so learning how to plant. Learning that Satan is around the dirt that you're planting in becomes very important because you'll plant
yes.
differently.
Yes.
Glory to God. Plant well. Now, so let me read it. Here we go. I'll run through it as quickly as I can. It's 6:39. So it says, Paul says, I've determined this with myself that I would not come again to you with this heaviness. For if I make you sorry, which one of you are going to be able to make me glad?
Mm.
But the same which is made sorry by me. That's so we have to be careful. We have to see the soul. Because if you see the soul, you'll be careful even what you share that's bothering you. Because if it's bothering you and you drop it into their soul, how do they encourage you?
Yeah,
especially if they're not nearly as strong as you are in the Lord. Imagine you have all these years of experience and joy and worship and praise
right.
and sacrifice and you've and offerings you've done and you're sweet smelling savor before the Lord. You're talking to somebody that don't even have a root in this kingdom and you're going
Ooh.
To tell them how bad it is. Not smart. Praise the Lord. So he goes with says
yeah.
verse 3, and I wrote this to you lest so that when I come I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to be rejoicing in. I planted some stuff, the stuff that I said, it caused you a lot of problems. And I should be able to rejoice in you, but I know when I get there, I'm going to have some sorrow. So I can't come with this heaviness. I'm going to have to figure out another way. Having the confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of all of you, that ultimately we're souls, and it's my job to maintain that relationship. For out of much, verse 4, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote that unto you with tears. Not that you should be grieved by it. I wasn't trying to make you sick from it. I was trying to encourage you to do the right thing now that you know it. But that you might know the love which I have more abundantly for you.
Amen.
It's amazing how, and I want to stop there for a minute. It's amazing how many people you say something and try to correct them feel like you're downing them when you're loving them.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Take it the wrong way.
The most perfect example of the church is parents and children. No, son, I don't want you to do it. No, you don't need to be going out with those people, so forth and so on. And they feel like you're putting them in bondage rather than giving them wise direction.
Amen.
It's amazing. And that's why you have to see the soul. But let me keep going. Verse 5, but if any have caused grief, it ain't bothering me. If what you said about me don't bother me, what I said about you is tearing you apart. But in part, just in part, that I might not overcharge you all. I ain't going to put too much of this on you. I'm not going to burn you with it. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment. He was supposed to be put out, which was afflicting many people. They were looking at that stuff. They didn't like it. So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him, though.
Yeah.
Right? And then comfort him. Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with so much grief, they'll end up taking their own life.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, God, I hope somebody heard me.
And mercy, Jesus.
This is why the word of God is to be handled so skillfully, because what you say to somebody causes a totally, I believe, causes a much deeper reaction than if some knucklehead said it to them, because you are God's chosen people.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
But I have a question about
oh,
that.
Oh, God. Yes, ma'am.
So if we know, like you said, that we battled out against flesh and blood, and the Holy Spirit within us is supposed to anger him. It's supposed to shake it up, right? Wouldn't it shake it up if it's all in God's plan? If God meant for the church to be a hospital, not a place you go, you already got it together. But you going out and you going and speaking to the souls that are lost. Their flesh is going to be, because that's what the enemy wants. It's for them to be rejecting it. You know what I'm saying? So does it delay them or put them into a damnation if that's what God is the hospital?
Great question. Great question, Janika. Now let's go to St. John, the 14th chapter. Right. Remember we were talking about Proverbs 23:23, yes. By the truth, solid back not. Yes. You'll have so much truth when you walk out of here tonight. Glory to God.
Amen.
Don't let nobody, don't sell it. Here we go. So here's where, so your question is, aren't we supposed to tell people the truth then? If that's what Paul had did. He didn't say I shouldn't have never told him the truth. He's saying you didn't know how to react to what the truth did to him.
Yeah.
Right? So spiritual truth is meant to convict a soul and not condemn it.
Damn it, yeah.
That's why he talks about that they become overly sorrowful and now they're in depression. That Jesus ever taught put a man in depression. It made a man go search himself, though.
Yes.
Come on,
Holly. Yes. It looked like depression. Flesh. It looked like depression. If I was looking at somebody going through a work of God working through them, it might look like depression. It might look like they deferred or delayed.
Well, I can tell you they will certainly back away, but here's the beautiful part. If you administer the word properly, they'll back away, but they're coming back.
Amen.
Because there's something about truth. There's something about truth that I believe every man, every woman wants.
Mm-hmm.
But you could speak truth in such a bad way.
Yep.
They may want the truth, but they don't want you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah.
Here's the evidence. Here's the evidence. How many of us have told some family members the truth, and they stop coming around?
Amen.
You so and judgmental. Every time I come over here, you talk. Say it again.
I told them, and they still don't change. But I was like, "You gonna get it? God gonna get you." Because you've been told, and now you know.
May I teach you how? May I give you the formula? Praise the Lord. Here we go. Here's the formula. Watch this. Everybody with me? 14:26, right? So 14:23-26, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, that person will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our home with him, our abode. He that loveth me not won't keep what I'm saying. And anybody notice he talks about what I said, not the commandments? He that loveth me not doesn't keep my sayings. And the word which you hear, it's not mine, but it's the Father which sent me. We'll get to 26. Watch this. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being here and present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So what is the formula? The formula is, I ain't your teacher, the Holy Ghost is.
Amen.
Yes. The formula is, I am the seed planter, not the teacher. So when I'm speaking, I have to have faith in the fact that the Holy Ghost is doing the work in the person.
Yes.
And I don't have to overwork myself trying to get the person to be a certain person. I just need to keep the sayings of Christ, which means this, I better be portraying what I'm saying.
Amen.
Nothing worse than somebody telling you, you need to straighten your act up and yours ain't.
Amen.
Nothing worse on the planet. Right?
Yeah.
Nothing worse on the planet. Right. You telling me I need to help my little sister because I'm the oldest boy in the family. You need to help your family. You need to do this. And then your brother and sister called you. I ain't got no time for that. Look, I got my own problems and so forth and so on. You can't teach me what you can't be.
Exactly.
Amen. That's it.
Preach. Come on.
Preach.
Praise the Lord. You cannot teach me what you can't understand yourself.
But
you're not willing to sacrifice to become yourself. And so you begin to become a double standard Christian, which is the worst Christian on the planet. When I talk, y'all ought to listen. When you talk, I don't have the time to hear you.
Come on.
Come on. And they are out.
Double standards.
Double standards.
Right?
You ain't telling the story.
So, Book of Proverbs says this. It says, a false balance is an abomination before God.
Wow.
That's double standard. It's an abomination. We don't realize it's been an abomination. I have not been what I said. I've been saying what I want them to be, that I can't be myself.
Ooh.
And that's what the world does. You're going to grow up and go to school and be this and be that, and I need you to do this, go to school, you need to learn. That's what the world is doing right now. That's why it's unsuccessful. You're going to get your education and so forth and so on. And I'm sitting at home, and every 10 minutes, I ain't never read a book. I'm sitting here stuck in the TV. I'm sitting here stuck over here in this. I'm over here on the phone with gossip. But I'm telling you to be something that I can't be myself. And the child can't. Oh, glory to God. I hope somebody gets this. And the child sees it and recognizes you just a bunch of air, because everything you're telling me to be, you won't be. How in the world? I watch you sit back and drink and do what you do. I watch you sit back and cuss folk out, but you try to tell me it's a shame and a curse.
Yeah, it does.
It becomes double standarded. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Bible, Book of James, says this, a double-minded man.
They
got nothing coming from God. It ain't going to happen.
He is unstable in all his ways.
So in how many ways?
Nothing.
All.
All. Everybody getting this? Praise the Lord. Formula. Let me go back to that, because I know we're running short on time, but I just want to make sure we get this. So as believers, right, people who know the Holy Ghost lives in me, I have to stop trying to get people where they need to go from my carnal thinking, or as my sister Janika said, from my soulish side, or my carnal side, because I am carnal. I am a human being, right? Amen. I do have feelings. I do get agitated. I do get aggravated. I do get, I might even get a little depressed every now and then. However, how many of you know that depression can't last in a believer? Because depression is the absence of joy. And I got too much joy for the devil to keep me in that place. It ain't going to stay. It might come, but it's got to go. But I'm saying, so the teacher becomes the Holy Spirit. The problem is, more often than not, my carnal man would love to be the teacher, because the carnal man wants to get the applause, the accolade,
Come on. Woo.
And when I recognize that I don't need that anymore, I need God to get it, then I start teaching and sharing the gospel from a different place.
Ooh, come on.
I'm just going to tell you what it did in my life. That's why the Bible says we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the witness of our testimony. It's the blood that fixed me, and it was my testimony that keeps me. And all I have to do is learn to start using my testimony instead of my knowledge to try to get people to understand God. God fixed my circumstance. I can't speak to yours. I don't know what, but I know there's a God because I know I was there before. I know what happened when I turned to him. I can't tell you what you will do. But I can tell you what he did in my life. And if you want it in your life, I can show you how to find it because I found it. We talked earlier. You can't give what you don't have, but you can certainly share what you got plenty of. And if you got plenty of Holy Ghost, you can share that. If you got plenty of testimony, you can share that. If you got plenty of love, you can share that. If you ain't got none of those things, you ain't got nothing to share.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's that right. Amen.
Come on.
No, I ain't got nothing to share. I've asked people, and this is not a slight, I'm certainly not saying anything about anybody because I know New Covenant Church of Christ. New Covenant Church of Christ is on fire for the Lord. But I'm saying there are a lot of people that I have asked, even in some of our Bible studies where people come and show up and I'll go, how's your week going? Or what's been happening? And it's maybe one in two, three, four, 5 weeks, one person might go, I saw the Lord make a move.
Mm-hmm.
Your testimony is your most powerful weapon against the devil who loves depression, loves anxiety. Your testimony is the winner. And the Holy Ghost teaches through your testimony. Anybody get it? Right? 14:26. But the Comforter. So if my testimony brings comfort, then the Holy Ghost can teach the person that is comforting. I'm just talking to myself. I know I am. If I start learning how to use comfort to correct people, no, you messed up a little bit. So you'll be all right. You're going to be all right. I'm telling you, you know how I know you're going to be all right? Because when I was messed up, and I turned to God, started happening, miracle after miracle. And I can tell you, baby, you think you messed up? You should have seen what your mama was like back then. You should have seen what your daddy was like back then. You ain't messed up. You just slipped and tripped. Let me tell you what's going to happen when God gets through with you. Now you have encouraged.
Come on.
You have encouraged.
Yes.
All right. And so I can sit back and tell them what the Bible says all day long. But if I can't tell them what God has done, I'm just throwing words in the air. Praise the Lord. It's just words in the air. But when I can say what God has done for me, what God has, and I've seen him do it for a lot of other people. This ain't nothing new for him. This
for real.
Is new to you. But it ain't new for him. I seen him. You know what we do in that church? There's about 100 people in that church, and God done did that for everybody. So you know he'll do it for you, but you all you got to do is go want it. Now the Holy Ghost begins to teach.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Anybody receiving this?
Praise the Lord.
So as we get ready to close out 6:57, I'm going to ask closing thoughts. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. Right? And let's hit all the most important points here, because there's some important points, right? First important point, know the difference between sharing your concerns with a person and dropping heaviness into them.
Yes, come on.
What does that mean?
First major point. If I come in and I'm heavy in the spirit, I'm sharing heaviness. If I come in and I'm telling you how somebody said A, B, and C, and I wish I could have killed them. I should have snatched the top of their head off. I just shared heaviness. I didn't
don't
give
let
you
nobody,
anything for witness.
Don't let nobody drop their garbage into your spirit.
Amen.
And don't you drop it into anybody else's.
Because it'll affect you. Somebody else's problems will affect you.
Everybody got it?
Amen.
Second most important point, verse 3. I wrote the same unto you, lest when I come I should have sorrow from them whom I ought to be rejoicing in. Mm-hmm. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
When people come to you with a problem, you're the believer, right?
Yeah.
You're the believer. You're the one confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, Master, and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
When people come to you with their problems, verse 3, when people come to you with their problems, they come to you expecting you to pour out oil and wine, not soil and whining.
Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I expect somebody to give me. I expect somebody when I go to people, I expect somebody to give me a solution. I want to hear somebody's testimony so I can be built up in the spirit on that issue.
Well, so that's what I just said. Amen. Stay right there. So, real quick, go to Revelation 6 chapter.
Okay.
Real quick, Revelation 6. And I think when we come back next week, I'll go through Revelation 6 for those that haven't heard it. I hope Sister Janika comes back. And what's my other sister's name? I'm so sorry, I forgot it.
Rachel. That was her name.
Rachel. Yep, thank you, Rachel. I apologize for forgetting your name.
Now you take the dog out.
So we'll go back over this because most of the people that do covenant know about this because we're in this time, right? But I want you to catch this part, just this part. This is the seven seals that were going to be broken once Jesus returns back to heaven. And when he returned back to heaven, he started breaking the seals. And the seals are timeline and stuff is happening around us right now. And it's going off. But I want you to see this particular part of the timeline. I want you to see verses 4-6. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. There was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see what's about to happen. And I beheld, and look, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. It sounds like gobbledygook, but let me tell you what it's talking about. It's talking about the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of wheat for the stock market. It was talking about Barack and his time in the office and a whole lot of other things. But mostly what I want to make sure you get is he said, but you can't hurt the oil and the wine. Every time you drink the Lord's Supper, the wine enters. Mm-hmm. Every time you suffer, the oil enters. Let me try it again. Every time you drink of the Lord's cup, the wine enters.
Mm-hmm.
With everything you've gone through, every sorrow, every hurt, every pain, every sickness, every disease, every trauma, every distraction, every pain that Satan's thrown at you, that's what produces the oil. That's why you're anointed, because you done stood for so much. You done stood through so much. You done held up when everybody else was falling down. You were able to stand when other men stronger than you, greater than you, wider than you, fell down and gave up, and you're still in the fight. That is the anointing. And so when people come to you, they're coming to you for the oil and the wine. I'm saying they're coming to you for your solutions, how you deal with it, how you overcame, what God did for you. That's the oil and the wine. They're not coming for the cheese and the whining. They're coming for the oil and the wine. Someone with some solutions, because if you ain't been through nothing, you certainly don't have no anointing. But I guarantee you, there's some folk on this phone that's done been through some stuff. I know for a fact, because I get to talk to them a lot. And I know that there's oil on the phone.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so when people come to us, they come with problems. Sometimes we don't give them the oil and the wine. We give them the what we think they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the flesh. Mm-hmm. But if I give them the oil, here's what I've learned in Christ. Here's what I did when my problem showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than sit back and tell you how you ain't gonna never make it and you ain't smart enough or you ain't good enough or you ain't got Jesus, so you ain't gonna get there. And that, because that's the biggest untruth there ever has been. The man standing on the corner when you walk by with a needle in his arm might end up being the biggest bishop, pastor, teacher, preacher you ever seen in your life in 15 years when God gets through with them. And if you plant enough oil and wine around them, you might be the one that brought him.
Hallelujah.
You might be the one that brings him out.
Exactly.
Anybody receiving this? And so Paul is simply saying, don't forget you're dealing with souls, not just people.
Mm-hmm.
And your responsibility is to love them, not because of who they are, but in spite of what they are.
Exactly.
Yes. Amen.
For glory.
Does that mean, going back to my sister Janika's question, does that mean I'm not going to tell you the truth about what I saw? No, I'm going to tell you the absolute truth about what I saw.
Amen.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I'm going to tell it to you in a way, by the time you get through, you will go back going, man, I was so anointed. I don't know what to say. What they said to me? Ooh, boy. Oh, my God. They hit it right on the head. They saw my past. They were able to look at my actions and tell my motivations. How did you know all that about me?
Yes.
Because the oil and the wine will flow. Because the Holy Ghost will do the teaching if you just trust him. Amen. It is 7:05, so I'm going to ask closing thoughts. I'll go around the room. I'll start with Brother DeJuan. I had you on mute, Brother DeJuan. Sorry. Brother DeJuan, any closing thoughts?
Only one mighty fine, divine. I love all of you, all of you, all of you. All of you.
You want to say the all in wine, and he said the all in wine is mighty fine.
Yes. Yes.
Glory to God. Thank you, DeJuan. That was really cleverly said. Thank you, sir. Let me go to our sister, Wanda. Yaba, Sister Yaba, closing thoughts, closing comments, or encouragement?
Yes, I just want to say that, yes, the word was definitely powerful. I thank you for even reminding of, you know, the part where you just remind us through the word that just being careful, like you may be expressing your feelings, but to be mindful of who can handle it, you know, at that time or what sharing might take a person. Is it gonna build them up or, you know, take them out of? And if they are, what's most prominent about what you said is if they're a babe, you know, if you go and you share something with a babe, how that would be more discouraging for somebody that can handle, because the strong is supposed to bear the infirmities of the weak. However, you need to learn where they are in that state when you're sharing, you know.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me go to Sister Janika.
I just want to thank Kawanda for inviting me. It's just, I'm going to be at church. This is really a great opportunity to be here. And I just want to say closing thoughts. As I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I have been blessed. And I thank God for making me exactly who I am, putting me exactly where I need to be at this exact moment in my life. And I have no complaints. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, Sister Janika. Thank you. And we do hope to see you. Absolutely. Sister Rachel.
Just want to appreciate the word that you gave tonight. Thank you, Hawanda, for inviting me. I look forward to our Bible.
You broke up, Rachel. I'm sorry. Then again, we heard. Thank you, Sister Wanda, for inviting you, and then it cut off.
I'm sorry. I appreciate you guys having me. I look forward to attending mm-hmm. more meetings or in-person service. And thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you. And is there anything that you need prayer for today, sister?
Just for strength.
Is there something? Say it again. Just for strength.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we got you. We're going to get right to it. I heard it.
Thanks, guys.
I don't know why I heard it, but I heard it. Mm-hmm. They said, thanks. No, she needs some strength right now. She needs some encouragement right now. And if I can encourage you with this, I would encourage you that if you stay around, you will become so strengthened. The one thing I can tell you, Sister Rachel, about the folks at New Covenant, it's a small church, but it's a mighty church. Mm-hmm. We got some folks that know how to fight their battles, and they know that they have a family that's fighting with them.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
You need a family, a spiritual family that you know is in the battle with you. And I guarantee you, your strength will be made full.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
I guarantee you it will.
Hallelujah.
I guarantee 3, 4, 5 months from now, you'll be preaching. Glory, I got it.
Hallelujah.
Sister Angela, closing thoughts.
Yes, I'm here. So my closing thought is this. When you spoke on the oil, mm-hmm. I am at the point in my walk that I am so, so grateful for everybody, and this is no pun intended, I'm just so grateful for everybody in with their part in helping me grow, even though I didn't know it throughout my life, whether they used me, abused me, lied to me, manipulated me, mm-hmm. and all that other stuff, I'm so very, very extremely grateful for each and every one of them, and I'm not joking. This comes from a sincere place in my heart. Now that I have forgiven them, because now I know that it wasn't them, it was Satan using them mm-hmm. to thrust me into my destiny. And especially the big test that, for all you guys who don't know, I was diagnosed with early breast cancer last year at the age of 47. Mm-hmm. I walked through the fire. When I talk about the fire, I was walking through the fire. But one thing about it all is I thank and praise God, because I sat up there and saw the word come to fruition in my life when I went through the Hallelujah. Darkest time of my life. And that old person, the little bit of the old person that I had left, that was crucified, dead and gone and buried. I am a new creature, and God has really, really worked in my life. He is real. He is so real. So I thank and praise God for the oil. It's very painful. It's very, but it's all worth it. It's all worth it. So now I can go out and help others.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That was. Yeah, that was the oil speaking. Glory to God. Sister Deborah?
Yes.
Closing thoughts, closing comments, or encouragement?
Yes, I enjoyed when you told us about how we need to watch what we say and who we're saying it to and talking to. That's very important, because the devil is the prince of the air, and he'll mm-hmm. take everything you said and he will destroy it. And mm-hmm. I dealt with that, because they got souls out here that I don't know if they know Jesus or if they don't, but I had to pray mm-hmm. and ask God to word every word of my mouth and tell these people what I need them to know,
so that I can be taken care of properly. And he did that for me. I was able to tell him what is what and what's not. And he just fixed it where I didn't have to cuss him out, because there was a little bit of that rose up in me that said, just cuss him out, and I bet you they won't treat you like they do.
One of them cussing spirits showed up.
I but I knew that I couldn't do it. And I'm like, Father God, show me how to intelligently express myself to them so that they can know that I do need the care because I'm here. And I asked the Lord to reveal to me, what am I dealing with? Because I could feel all kind of things in the air. And I said, okay, I get it. All kind of spirits was all over the place. And I'm like, Father, why am I here? And I'm like, this is not of you. But he helped me to express myself in a way where I was able to tell them why I was here and why I needed their help. And and they began to treat me differently after the prayer, though. But before the prayer, they came in here and told me, give me your social security number. And I told them, that's not going to happen. So don't worry about it. They said, well, we'll just put it on your credit report. I said, if you think you can, that's not going to happen either. But I prayed again, and I said, Father God, show me what I need to do to help these people.
Thanks.
Not worry about whether or not they're going to get paid because of my being here. And God told me exactly what to do. I called the insurance company, and I spoke with the insurance company. He said, just give them your member number. They don't need your social security number. So I ended up with the victory, and I'm so grateful that
God
is so real and how he's working in my life, because every prayer I prayed, he answered the prayer for me. And then next thing I knew, the battle was over. So I'm happy that I'm going home and that this has been a journey. But yeah, God will put you in some places, or you may not understand what you're going to deal with, what's going to come up. But spirits are strong, ungodly spirits are strong in here. And I have to pray and ask God to cover me. Cover me with his blood so that I can safely be here and safely get out of here. And that was my, but that wine and oil is very, very important, because without it, you would not know what to do. You think you got to put on your boxing gloves. Nope, that's not the answer.
Amen.
I enjoyed the Bible.
Never,
I haven't been here in a long time, but I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm sitting here imagining you with some boxing gloves on now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Deborah. That's powerful. And that's what we're talking about. Blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. That's more powerful than any tool and any weapon. It is.
Yes,
that part is very important. Make sure you use it. Brother Arnold, closing thoughts, words of encouragement.
Yes, sir. I want to apologize because I had to get off. I was in this thing, so I didn't want to, because I wanted to comment on what you were saying, and I'm pretty sure it was a good one because I came in at the end. I'm mad I missed it, but it's always a good one every time you talk. But I was saying, though, when you were saying about, you know, you not leaving your brother, you know what I'm saying, and to still plant them seeds into, and to not leave, right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But what would be different, you know what I'm saying, if you were staying by your brother when he was just being negative like that and not being accepted, and it was bringing you down. You know what I mean? Then it's like uh-huh. what you said last week. You move away, because you spoke about this last week. You said move away mm-hmm. from something that's not mm-hmm. bringing you, you know what I'm saying, so that you can grow, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So
I
was just saying that I guess I misunderstood what you were saying then. You know what I mean? Because it sounded mm-hmm. like you were saying, like, you know, just don't leave a person. You know what I'm saying? But it's not the fact of that you leave them. You leave somebody. You leave people and get away from people when you feel like that they messing up your spirit. You know what I'm saying? When it's doing something negative to you, you don't leave bitterness. You don't leave and not still wish well on them. You don't still not pray for them, because if we are child of God, that's what we're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Our mm-hmm. mission is to love. You know what I'm saying? But our mission mm-hmm. is not, we can't let anybody kill us. We can't let anybody bring mm-hmm. this up out of us anymore. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. we have to be conscious about when to leave. And when you leave away from people like that, that's bringing you down. Don't feel like that you have to be around somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Mm-hmm.
in that sense, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's what mm-hmm. I wanted to say. But I couldn't say it where I was at, but man, it definitely sounded mm-hmm. like a good one. You know what I'm saying? It just basically being a message that, you know what I'm saying, a person is saying, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm noticing a lot of that, you know what I mean? And I know a lot of people feel like, well, is Brother Arnold really doing this when the lights is off or when the cameras is off? Brother Arnold is like all the time, come be around me. You know what I'm saying? Like, this mm-hmm. this is not mm-hmm. a game. This is not an act. And that's why I'm so passionate about when I talk. You know what I'm saying? Because I know what mm-hmm. I'm talking about now. My eyes is open. Mm-hmm. Can't nobody just tell me yeah. nothing. But I do yeah. notice that I still have, I do oh, notice man. That I still have a lot more to grow in to do. I still notice that I do yeah. have a lot more flesh in me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not acting okay. like somebody that I'm not. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just want the truth. Mm-hmm. I just want the truth, and I want better for everybody. So excuse me if mm-hmm. I'm a little, you know what I mean? This, I'm just passionate about this. I don't play with this. Just like mm-hmm. when I was in the street, I didn't play. I'm not going to get over here and play with God. You know what I'm Ooh, saying? So
yes,
we have to be conscious. Mm-hmm. We have to be conscious about, how we're treating people. Yes, planting the right seeds. I agree totally with what you mean. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. it was a great mm-hmm. one, and I hate I missed it. So that's all I wanted to say. And I love everybody with the love of Christ.
Yeah.
This is a great yeah. church. This church helped me. This church helped me. In my family, a lot, like, they saved my marriage a lot, you know what I'm saying? They helped save me, so yeah. you know what I'm saying? These are great God. People to be around, to soak up and learn, for real.
Yeah, and so thank you, Arnold. Yep, praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Arnold. I'll close with this. No, I think it was a misinterpretation, because... No, no one is supposed to sit in a melting pot. Never do that.
Yeah.
You what the word is saying is just don't give up on them. don't get away from around them, right? Because we all know when something is impacting our spirit to the Amen. Point that yes, our spirit is ready to go, I'm going to let your flesh get in control. Mm-hmm. Right? We all, yes. you can feel, and if you're sensitive, if you've been in the walk for a while, you
yeah.
feel it way before it ever gets there. That's why I said the
yes.
truck, and that's why I use that analogy. You feel mm-hmm. it. You don't just go, nobody goes from 0 to 100 and don't pass 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on up to 99. You can't do it. Your emotions are built a certain way. Our emotions are built a certain way. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking about us. Our emotions are built a certain way. The more conscious I become of my carnality, my emotional part
yes.
of me, the more I can catch when a person said, boom, that
mm-hmm.
it started a process off in me that's going to eventually get to this. I can tell you 90% of the time when I'm talking to somebody, I know where they're taking me
mm-hmm.
before they ever
yeah.
get me there. And
oh,
I
yeah.
know
oh,
I got
yeah.
to go. Because there, it's just, this is going to move over to this. This is going to move to that. I'm going to have to retort, rebut, rebate, and debate. And that's going to, hey,
yeah.
I might as
yeah.
well let them have it, move on out the way. Because sometimes we're human. Sometimes we all have emotional things taking place. you can literally be on your job and some people can look at you a certain way, say things a certain way, function a certain way around you. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, you weren't paying attention, but you carried that mess right home.
Yep.
Wow. You carried it right to your house. And you start, and a person will start looking at their own family all crazy. And this is the other part that Paul was talking about. What good is it for me to be around the people that I'm supposed to be encouraging, and I'm so depressed and up under, all I end up doing is making them discouraged. That's part of that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
another very important point. I have to know myself. I have yeah. to know when something is irritating me. And if I don't deal with it at the source of the irritation, I'm going to take the irritation, just like a pearl, right? Just like a oyster. An oyster creates a pearl out of an irritation. it don't pop pearls, it creates a pearl. And so all it takes is one fine, minute grain of sand to slip inside of the oyster shell, and the oyster recognizes this irritation in its environment, and it begins to spin a silk around that piece of irritation or piece of sand until that piece of sand turns completely white, hardens, and it's now called a pearl. Whereas the irritation itself wasn't worth a penny. By the time you get through spinning around it and turning Ooh. It into something, it now has great value. That's oil. Anybody
wow.
get what I just said?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. By the time you get through going through it, that thing that was the irritation becomes the oil. It becomes the value of life.
Yes.
Yes. Everybody got it? So, no, somebody's getting to you, get out. But also know that you don't give up on them. That's the key point. If I don't give up on you, I'll still have my heart and my mind open, but not foolishly, to give you another opportunity. If I give
Amen.
Up on you, your opportunities are over. And if I'm the only Christ you know, and I'm the only one that God has sent into your life to have a Christ-like mentality, I'm helping you to get to hell because I refuse to deal with your hell. I'm helping
Amen.
You anyway.
Come on.
Praise yes. the Lord.
Come on. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yep. So if there's nothing else, I'm going to ask Sister Angela to close us out in prayer. I want to thank our guests, Janika and Rachel. We praise God and hope and pray to see you. And hope and pray. Also, you can go to the website. Brother Arnold said he missed it. But if you go to our website, it's New Covenant Church of Christ. These audio files go to the website the following day after the Bible studies. And so you'll find that this actual Bible study is actually on our website under audio. If you want to go back, review, look at, listen to, and say, okay, did I get all of that? It's there for you. So if you would, Sister Angela, please close us out in prayer.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word that went forth tonight. Father God, I pray that everybody on this line had good soil for that word to fall upon, Father God. We thank you for that word once again. Father God, let it be nourishment to our souls, our bodies, our minds. Father God, let it go forth as healing.
Yes.
Father God, I ask you to look upon our sister tonight, Father God. I
yes.
forgot her name, but she knows who
Rachel.
She is. Father God, I ask you right now, Father God, to send out your ministering angels to her, Father God.
Yes.
Father God, wrap loving arms around her, Father God. Let her know that you will never
right
leave
now,
her.
Please.
Her. And Father God, that you are there with her, Father God, right
yes.
there. Father God,
yes.
we ask you to bless her with strategy, Father God, going forth for her help. Father God, we ask you that you would touch the minds and the hearts and the souls of every doctor and every nurse, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, we know where there are two or more gathered in your name, Father God. You are in the midst of us, Father God. We receive that right now. We stand on your word.
Yes, ma'am.
Father God, I thank you for every sister and brother tonight. Father God, you know their hearts. You know their minds. You know what they are going through, Father God. Father God, be with them. Send out your word. Send out your ministering angels. In the name of Jesus, I pray, we pray, amen and amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory.
Wonderful people of God. I hope to and pray to see some of you on Sunday. But if not, we certainly hope and pray to see the rest of you next Wednesday, same time, 5:30. Same phone number, same call in, same everything. Come back, share your testimonies that you will have, because you'll have some this week.
Hallelujah.
You'll have some.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You're going to have them. And so we'd love to hear them. Bring them back. Share with us. And let's go into, we're going to read the 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter next week, because we're going to be equipped with some word to fight the enemy when he comes. We cannot afford to lose battles over and over. Just can't do it anymore. All right? I love you all with the love of Christ.
Wait a minute.
Good night,
everyone. I have another little part of prayer. Father God, I thank you right now for our pastor. Father God, we thank you for all of the hard work, Father God, that he puts into your kingdom. Father God, we ask you to renew his strength, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him when he lays his head down. Bless him when he wakes up in the morning, Father God. Bless his wife when she lays her head down. Bless when she wakes up, Father God. Bless their home, Father God. Bless their job, Father God. For he puts your kingdom first, and all of us know this to be true. So, Father God, we stand upon your word right now. He is about his father's business, and so is his wife. Be about their business. In the mighty matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Oh, thank you.
Love y'all.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God. Love you all.
Amen.
Thank you so very much. See you on Wednesday, if not Sunday. God bless everybody.
All right. God bless. Good night.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night, New Covenant. Mm-hmm.